The other thing I would like to read is from the title section, Driven to Abstraction, which is really a kind of, well, for one thing, it's based on a wonderful book by Brian Rottman called Signifying Nothing, or A Semiology of Zero. And it's really, it's a book about how the introduction of zero really changed our civilization and goes together with the introduction of perspective and also with the changes in, you know, carrying gold around to having written promises and finally paper money, these kinds of processes of abstraction. And this fascinated me, and also because I'm very ambivalent. You know, I know this abstraction is very necessary and also very exciting, but at the same time, you know, I want the body, you know, and I want the concrete physical things, especially in writing. So anyway, I stole the whole structure of the book and many quotes from it. And so this, what I'm going to read is the first section, which is called The One Who Counts, Who Paints, Who Buys and Sells. And the first poem is directly on zero. Zero, the corrosive number. Impossible. Without the idea of counting, to imagine numbers, repeating an identical act, a particular mark, over and over. Like languages that express a plural by repeating the singular, or a man with a woman, and another, and a third, a fourth, etc., prolongs its shadow, its mathematical imperative, the idea that ceaselessly a string of beads, of follies, of particulars, elementary, as long as the momentum, zero, as trace of one who counts, is under the spell of women, naked, infinite progressions, delirious possibility, offspring. I dig a hole, he said, and then dig another and fill it with the soil I took out of the first hole. A system of numbers instead ties a knot around nothing, of abbreviations, conventions of syntax and grammar, conventions instead of notch, tally mark, or pebble, instead of thou shalt not make unto thee any image, no likeness of a thing, no catalogue of ships, no list of wars. Imagine counting emptiness. Fearless, the mountain people cross the abyss on a flimsy bridge, finger the empty space on the abacus, has no value but colors what's around it. Like a premonition, nudges other numbers into place, origin and starting point, position without precedent, as if being in the world without being born. Once we have eaten of the fruit, we cannot be like one who has not. Cannot vomit up the fruit and kill the ox that drank the water, that put out the fire, that burnt the stick, that beat the dog, that bit the cat, that ate the serpent, that crossed the coordinates. The next one is Invention of Infinity. If zero marks the place of one who counts, then perspective of the one who sees, who casts his shadow, whose soul takes flight with the point of view, of anchor, of vanishing. More as in death than like a bird. And from the distance watches appearance shed its weight, the way a flame leaps up to meet another flame. And an alarm goes off, and his soul returns to his body with increase of temperature and a pinch of salt. And memory uncoils into fresco and secco, like a bud into a leaf, lest it, God forbid, be consumed by the fire. Yet even its charred residue can, by the method called spolvero, comfort the space your wife's face had been, for being so deep and empty now. In Gothic paintings, however, different places, different historical moments impinge without traffic jam on one another, because enfolded in the eye of God. And out of these very simple images, so very holy, shines a spaceless, noiseless sun. And you dare not stare too long, because your vision thereafter might not refer to objects in the world. The way Nicholas of Cusa thought a portrait could float a monk toward things divine if the eye in the portrait held him, and so he walked from east to west, did not leave him, then he will marvel how, motionless, the eye moves, and in like manner moves for one who walks a contrary direction. Then he won't be able to contain such hallucinatory intensity any more than light in a bowl. The icon of God, such an image was called, because like unto the gaze that never quitteth, just as the gold in the halo, precious and immutable as he is, could shelter his presence without annulling his transcendence. And if you understood, you'd be delivered from death congenital. But Alberti urged in his treatise on painting to reject gold in favor of white to show the structure of holiness. Being both color and absence of color, white performs for God's presence what the vanishing point does for his image, the artist, and your memory for his image, your wife. But more than you want to see your dead wife's face, you yearn to touch her body and try to find her touch in the hand that hands you a loaf of bread. But haunting is stopped by cold skin. And the third one is bank money. Is there a measure on earth? Gold was thought to be the standard against which to gauge, not a color that vanishes in the dark, unchanged as it replaces the ox, the loaf of bread, the bean. No pricing system stays the light on a face, even remembered, so the gold of the sun accelerates sap circulating in the leaf and makes a wooden table smell of forest and recall broken weeping, and butter melts in the mouth. Gold was precious before some prince stamped his effigy upon it and returns to what it was. So what does the act of signifying add? A level of abstraction? Higher? As the human soul is said to emerge into the world with, at bottom, the spirit of an animal, but reaches up through the majesty of the revealed word toward high up, the sphere of nothingness, from which all words emanate? It's still our bottom we sit on. time moves through matter, and matter decomposes. The edge of the leaf curls and yellows, the skin sags. A gap arises between good money, the unsolid issue of the state, and the worn or fraudulently diminished coins in circulation. Between face value and the frayed contours of a face in memory, a little more dead. Because of this gap, a new form of money emerged in Renaissance states with international trade, like Venice and Amsterdam. Not currency in the old sense, but a promise stretching time. Imaginary coin. A difference between is and means worthy of wars of religion. Its value globally a fixed weight of gold or silver, and locally a variable amount of gold money exchangeable for it. Bank money, exact to the standard of the mint, the mind. And with it, a new type of transaction. Money bought and sold, entering into relation with itself as if it too could insert the mirror, but without reflection or light gathered against it, without the glow of an apple against the darker leaves, without hold on feeling. And then comes sort of an interlude where I sort of think about my own ambivalence and writing. You know. Middle English grammary, grammar, or book learning came to mean occult or magical lore, and through one Scottish dialect form has emerged in our present English as glamour, spell cast by women. Grammar girls, with words that spell power and cast spells, and provoke matter, so a black panther treads at my side and above my fingers there float petal-like flames. Words with a nimbus, a glory, a sphere of radiance, beyond the horizon called definition. But writing is the tool of the negative, through which meaning comes to us. Effortlessly it burns all substance off the blue shapes in the east to a density less than thinnest clouds, the word hills, without body, so with form, therefore not like God, a nothing that foams on the ink's plate. The word's power to kill, and I'm not thinking of white-gloved White House memos, its violence against what it names, what it can name only by taking away its materiality, destroying its presence, is death itself speaking? Or is it? If the word both kills and shows a certain slant of light on Sunday afternoons that we'd search in vain anywhere else, if the word horse boils the animal down to the concept and yet, in the way of hunger, hallucinates four legs, a mane, and folds of flesh, then maybe this death is not a simple matter and must hold a kind of life the way fog holds light. Some say it's because the daughters of the gods came down from the heavens and made it with humans that the order of the world was thrown out of joint and opposites became entangled. So that, without the letter that kills, there is perhaps no spirit to give life? Thank you.